Okay. The next shahr in the Orchos Tzadikim is the shahr Hashtika, the shahr of quiet. Really, this is the place where he does have a shahr, he does have a gate related to Lashon Hara, that is true. But here we're going to talk about when to talk and when not to talk. Certainly a midah that everybody could be a little bit more sensitive to. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, in the first perek, in the name of Rabbi Shimon, Kol Yamai Gedalti Bein HaChacham, my whole life I was raised amongst wise men, V'lo Matzasi L'guf Tov El Shtika, I found nothing better for the body than being quiet. Shtika. And Shlomo Melech says in Mishlei, Kam Eva Macharish Chacham Yachshov Otem Sfasav Navon, that even a fool, if he keeps quiet, will be considered wise, right? Someone who's foolish, someone who doesn't know anything, but they keep quiet, you'll assume they're smart until they open their mouth. So the less you talk, the more people will assume that you are smart and you're simply not sharing your wisdom. The Medrash in Vayikra Rabbah records that Rabbi Gamliel made a feast and he gave his servant, his chef, tongue, like from a cow, right? Gave him a cow tongue to serve at the meal. Cow tongue is considered very fancy, very expensive. And so he gave the chef cow tongue to serve at the meal. And the servant and the chef cooked some of them soft, the tongues, not to be too gross, and some of them he cooked well done, so they were hard. So he brought at the guests the soft tongues, and then he served them the ones that were overcooked, that were hard. So Rabbi Gamliel asked servants, and he said, why'd you do this? Why'd you do some of the tongues cooked soft and some of them cooked hard? So the servant says, I want to teach everybody a lesson. That everything comes from the tongue, that your tongue controls everything. If you want to, you can make your tongue soft and speak in a soft and nice way. And if you want to, you can make your tongue hard and speak in a harsh way. All depends on how you prepare it. Your tongue is a tool to speak to people, to hurt or to build. And how you prepare your tongue, to use it in a harsh way or a soft way, is up to you. The Rambam writes in Pirkei Avos, on that Mishnah regarding Lo Matzasi L'guf Tov El Shtika, and he says that all speech can be placed into one of five categories. He says the first category are things that are obligatory, things you have to do. Speech the Torah makes us say, you know, Torah, Tefillah, Mitzvos, where we have to use our speech. That's one type of talk. The other is things that are praiseworthy. They're nice things to do. So that means things where the Torah didn't tell you have to talk, but it's a nice thing if you do it. Complimenting people, praising people and their qualities, denigrating people who are bad, and words and songs which inspire that to move people to closer to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, things like that. Nice things to say. That's the second category. The third category of speech, says the Rambam, are things that are permissible, rishus. Things you need for your business, for school. You know, talking, studying for a test, making sure you have food, going shopping in the store. It's praiseworthy if you do it. It's a nice thing to do, but you don't need to overdo it. Nobody wants to hear a 20-minute monologue about your diet. That's not interesting to anybody. So that's permissible. Things that you have rishus, you're allowed to say them, but you have no reason to say more than you need to. The other category, the fourth category, are things that are undesirable, things that are not a good thing to talk about. These are things that are empty, things where you don't gain from anything. We're talking about gossip, about celebrities, talking about the news that's not relevant, talking politics is a big thing. Talking politics has become such a, you know, unpleasant thing nowadays where people end up fighting and people can't have normal conversations. Politics is a good example of something there. There's no reason to talk about politics in most cases. It doesn't serve any purpose and just makes people aggravated and doesn't bring anybody closer to Hashem. And this type of thing is something that you should avoid. There's no reason to talk about gossip and those types of unimportant, silly conversations. And the last category the Rambam says are things that are usur. Things the Torah says you can't do. Cursing, lying, lashon hara, speaking nivel peh, vulgar language, things like that. So when we are able to categorize our speech, says the Rambam, we'll be able to control it better. Because if I think, well, I'm about to say something right now, which category does this go into? Is it usur? Is it mutter? Is it a nice thing to say? Not a nice thing to say? It's better to be aware of what we're saying and how we are saying it. A lot of talk, says the Rambam, is unnecessary and not helpful, and would be much better served if we would have shtik, if we would have quiet, and simply not say certain things that pop into our head. Where are places where silence is good? So says our teacher, the Orcha Sadikim, first of all, when a person is experiencing Midas Hadin, as we saw in last week's Parsha, by Aaron, Nadav and Avihu, when Nadav and Avihu died, Aaron was Vayidom Aaron, he was quiet, he accepted the judgment from Hashem, and he remained silent. Now Rashi on that pasuk says that Aaron was rewarded with his being quiet by being given the zechus, that the very next mitzvah in the Torah was given directly to him. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu communicated with Aaron directly and not Moshe. That was the merit, that was the reward he got for remaining quiet and not questioning Hashem's judgment. So Rav Yaakov Naiman, who was a great Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael, writes in his Darkei Musar that it wasn't a simple thing that Aaron remained quiet after the death of his sons. Let's not say, oh, and Aaron remained quiet like it wasn't a big deal. You have to understand, it took Aaron HaKohen years of training, years of working on himself, years of his emunah, to be able to be matzik as adin, to understand and to say that Hashem was righteous in what he did, and to remain silent. This level that Aaron attained over many years led him to a place of hashras hashchin, a level where he was so close to Hashem. And if he wouldn't have remained silent, he wouldn't have gotten that nevuah from Hashem. It's not a simple thing. Aaron worked on himself for a long time to get to that place. Another place where silence is good is if somebody insults you. If you respond, says the Orcha Sadikim, the insulter will come back twice as hard. In addition, if you're quiet when you're insulted, it makes the person who insulted you very uncomfortable, right? If somebody comes at you and says something insulting and you remain quiet, that person who attacked you is waiting for a fight. So if you just stay quiet and you don't say anything, it's going to make them so uncomfortable. It's going to be so awkward for them. And therefore, the best thing to do when somebody attacks you verbally is to remain quiet and to step back. That's where it's proper to be quiet and a good place. Yeah, Lily.
Is it bad if you take pleasure in fighting people, like as a joke?
Could be. It could just be a sign of, you know, just maturity as well. Hopefully as people grow and mature, then it becomes less fun. But, you know, we can talk about specifics later. Yeah.
So when are you, like, supposed to fight back?
Okay. When are you? You should fight back if there is a lack of, you know, kavod kiddush Hashem, kavod HaTorah, things like that. Things you have to understand, like what is important to fight back about. Somebody said they didn't like your outfit, they didn't like your sweater. Okay, they like your sweater. You know, okay, but they come after, you know, they're doing something that's hurting somebody else. You know, those types of things where you can stand up. But in most cases, machlokas can be avoided by simply, you know, making shalom and turning away. Yeah, Tamar.
If someone, let's say, attacks, like, let's say, how religious you are, and you know that, like, by you defending that, it's not going to really make anything better, should you say something to them?
Say that again?
If, like, someone attacks, let's say, how religious you are, like, let's say you're firmer or whatever, then should, like, you defend yourself and, like, stand up to that insult, or no? Should you just let it go?
No, probably better just to let it go. Probably better to let it go. In most cases, it's better to let it go. Okay. Fine. Now, during davening, you should also be quiet. So the Orcha Sadikim says that many people talk during davening because they have Devarim b'talim in their hearts. They have empty things in their hearts. If you didn't speak about silly things the rest of the day, then you wouldn't think about them during davening, and you'd be able to focus better. So davening is also a place where you should be quiet. When sitting with people who are smarter than you, you should also be quiet. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos and Parakei, "Hachacham einu medaber b'fnei mishu gadol b'menu b'chachma." A wise person doesn't speak in front of somebody who knows more than them. "Veino nichnas l'soch divrei chaver." He doesn't walk into a conversation and start talking when he wasn't invited. Veinu nival lahashiv. And he doesn't try to always reply. Shoel kinyan umeshiv kalach. He replies to the question he was asked. Voma rishon rishon ve'achron achron. The first thing he asks, he responds to that. The second thing he's asked, he responds to that in order. Vama shalo shama omer. And when he didn't hear something, he says, lo shamati, I didn't hear this. It's okay to say, I don't know. It's okay to say, I don't have an answer to this. It just makes you sound much more intelligent. And he's modal emes. He admits when something is true. The last thing the Orcha Tzaddikim says is that when someone else is talking, you should wait for them to finish. That's just a good midah, to not try to be always looking to respond. Often when people are talking to us, we have this habit of trying to think how we're going to respond next, right? Someone is talking to us, they're trying to make a point, and all you're thinking about is, well, I'm going to say this, but me. But we need to work on listening to people while they're talking to make sure we're hearing everything that's going on. Yeah, Lily. Okay, so we're going to talk about that in a moment, okay? We're going to talk about that exact case, okay? It is always better, says the Orcha Tzaddikim, to be with people who ask why you're being quiet and they want you to speak, than to be with people who find your speaking to be too much and ask you to be quiet, right? Those are the two opposites. You always want to be in a situation where somebody says, how come we have nothing to say? We want to hear what you have to say about this. How come you're not speaking up? As opposed to being in a situation where people are looking at each other wondering, how come you are still talking and why are you not being quiet? You always want to be in the first category, not the second category. Now, if you stay quiet, you can avoid many, many different types of isurim. So he explains a few isurim we can avoid. The first is chanifa, which is giving flattery to people who don't deserve it. We'll talk about that another time. The second is leitzanus, mockery. Making fun of things. There are five categories, says the Orcha Tzaddikim, and he explains that a person becomes a late, someone who makes fun, someone who mocks things. They're porik ol, they throw off their fear of heaven. They make fun of Torah mitzvos, it leads to apikorsis, to heresy. So listen to the five areas where a person needs to be careful not to make fun of things. He says the first thing is someone who makes fun of people's imperfections. I think we can all agree that that's terrible. The second person is someone who makes fun of others for not being as successful as they are. Didn't do well in school, whatever it may be. The third category of leitzanus is someone who makes fun of things that are not his idea. Right? Just because you didn't think of it, it's a bad idea, you make fun of it. I think we're familiar with people who do this sometimes, right? Just because they didn't come up with the idea, they make fun of it because they want to make themselves feel better. That's the third category we need to avoid. The fourth category, says the Orcha Tzaddikim, is someone who looks for other people to make fun and to mock things for social reasons. They're not bad people, but socially it makes them feel better to make fun of things. They want to be part of a group. The Vilna Gaon writes in Mishlei, in the first parak, that Hashem sends a certain ruach, a certain spirit, to accompany a person in everything they do. The nature and magnitude of that spirit, that feeling, is determined by the activities that you choose to devote your time to. And therefore, he says, a person who engages in talking, for example, will be granted, for better or worse, but usually worse, a ruach, a spirit, that will propel you to pursue that activity further. If you talk, your body's going to want to talk more. If you start speaking, you're going to want to fill that need to talk. And you're going to have an even stronger desire to schmooze, an even bigger spirit to want to share and to socialize and talk with people. And then, after you talk, you're going to feel better. But then it's only going to be temporary. You're going to want to talk more. You want to schmooze more. You're going to want to speak about people more. So says the Vilna Gaon, when you have the desire, that ruach, that spirit to talk, channel it towards something else. Channel it towards Torah. Channel it towards saying Sehillim, davening, saying good things about people. We have a desire to speak. We're just hardwired. That's how we are as human beings. We want to share. We want to talk about things. It's a normal human thing. But you got to take that desire. You got to take that feeling to talk and to share and to schmooze and to channel it towards positive things. And use that social feeling we have to want to talk and to use our mouths and fill it with positive things about the people we know. The fifth category of leitzanus, of making fun of, is not because you intend to be mean, but rather because you think you're being funny. That's the fifth category. So Rav Volbi has a very important piece in Alei Shor. This is a very important and beautiful idea. Rav Volbi writes in the first volume of Alei Shor that most people relate to this world in terms of what is good or what is bad. If something is good, then any imperfections are usually ignored. And if something is bad, so all positive attributes are usually put away, right? So for example, a person loves their family, so anything that might not be so great about their family, they may ignore and not even notice. And if someone were to point out to them, you know, this thing that you're doing or your family is like not so okay, they won't hear it because it's either 100% good or 100% bad. Or, on the other end, a person doesn't like a certain type of food. And even if they'll say, someone will come to you and say, well, you know, if you prepare the food this way, it might be okay, and it's really healthy for you. No, I don't like this food. Everything about it is bad. Says Rav Volbi, we make the mistake of being very extreme. Either everything is 100% good, or everything is 100% bad. But says Rav Volbi, a person who's a Talmud Chacham, a person who's wise, does not view the world this way. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Al tihi vaz l'chol davar, don't disgrace, don't make fun of anything. V'al tihi maflig l'chol davar, don't make fun of any person. She'en l'cha adam, she'en lo shav, ein l'cha davar, ein lo makav. Because every single thing has a purpose and a place in this world. Everything is created by Hashem. And everything, besides for Avodah Zarah, needs to be measured and weighed in what is good about it and what is bad about it. What Leitzanis does, what mockery does, if you're a person who just makes fun of things all the time, it pushes away, and it's mevatel, it ruins anything that you feel is not correct at this moment. Leitzanis, a person who always makes fun of things, shows the person is not a very thoughtful person. A person who's always making fun of things and putting things down is not a very deep person. We want to be deep people. We want to be thoughtful people. That means we don't make fun of things. We analyze things. We look, well, some of this is good, some of this is bad. Part of this idea seems to make sense, but part of this idea doesn't seem to make sense. We're balanced. We're thoughtful. People who mock, people who make fun of, people who tear down are shallow and don't have the ability to see things deeper and to analyze things from multiple sides to see what is positive and what is negative. Another thing we need to avoid when we're quiet is Lashon Hara. The Medrash Tehillim says that one of the causes for the Shechina leaving the Jewish people is Lashon Hara. Sheker, lying. If we're quiet, we won't lie as much. And also, it will keep you from insulting others. And he speaks here a little bit about being sensitive with our speech, about insulting people. He says we have to be so careful not to embarrass someone or cause them hurt with our words. Don't speak about topics in front of someone if they're sensitive to that issue or they're suffering from that thing you're speaking about. I'll give two examples that we can definitely be better about. If you are sitting with somebody who's been married for some time and they don't have children for a number of years, to sit there and to talk about, you know, kids and having kids and what it's like to raise little kids and all these things like that, that's very beautiful and very nice. But there's a person sitting with you at the table who's suffering inside because they can't have children. It's not being sensitive to them. If you're talking about somebody who's been dating for a long time and not married for many, many years, and you're sitting there about talking about your wedding and planning this wedding, going to that chas, and this person's getting married, you have to take a step back and think for a second. That person who's hearing about all these wedding plans, and you're talking about this marriage, and this wedding, and this person's not getting married, how does that feel to them to be part of that conversation? So you have to be careful that even things that are kosher and mutter are very nice things to talk about. Is there somebody sitting there who's going to be hurt even by that very pariv and not necessarily negative conversation? If somebody did an aveira and they did tshuva, you may not remind them about the aveira that they did. That's called onas dvarim. It's causing pain by reminding them of the way they were and the aveira that they did. If someone is telling you a story, Lily, and they're telling you something that you already know, you heard that story 100 times, says the Orach HaTzaddikim, do not interrupt them. Let them finish what they're saying. Because it makes them feel good to share that story, or that joke, or that idea. And if you tell them that you already heard it, you're going to take that feeling away. The Pasuk says in Mishlei, Masir Azno, Mashmiya Torah Gam Tfiloso Toeva, that a person who turns deaf to the Torah, his tefillah is also an abomination. What does that mean? So the Vilna Gaon says that it should have said, a person who removes his mouth from Torah is problematic. So what are we talking about? The person becomes deaf. So the Gra explains that it's normal and unfortunate that when people start to hear Divrei Torah or ideas that they've already heard before or they learned before, we tune out, right? Oh, I heard that idea. They're not going to tell me anything. This teacher's telling me an explanation on the parsha or some halacha that I heard before. Clicking off. I don't need to hear it. This is old news to me. So Mishle is telling us that those people who turn their ears away from Torah, this is a mistake because they think that I don't need to hear it. So says Hashem, you're going to turn your ears off when someone's telling you something? Then I'm going to turn my ears off, so to speak, when you want to talk to me by davening. That's what Hashem says. If you are going to shut people down when they're trying to share things with you, share ideas with you, share stories, whatever it may be, and you're going to say, I don't need it, I'm good, then Hashem's going to say, well, I'm pretty sure I've heard your Shemoneh Esrei more than a few times. It seems to be very, very similar every single time. So maybe, says Hashem, I'm not interested in listening to you. So Hashem says, it's not a nice thing to do. That's what Mishle is telling us. It makes them feel good. It makes them feel special. There's a story. I forgot about who. Either of Yitzchak Chaim Spector, or Chaim Ozogrozhensky, one of these gedolim in Europe, who they were sitting with their talmidim, and a guy ran in and said, good news, you know, this person who's going to be drafted into the army, you know, he got deferred. He's not going to go to the army. He's going to be safe. So he said, Baruch Hashem, thank you so much for telling me. And then 20 minutes later, another guy ran in and told him the same thing. Oh my gosh, you're never going to believe it. This guy got deferred from the army. You know, he's going to be safe. He's not going to have to go serve in the Russian army. You know, it'll be good for him. And Rabbi Chaim Moser told him, or this rabbi said, Baruch Hashem, thank you so much for telling me. I'm so happy you made my day. And this happened like 3 or 4 times over the course of the next hour. So the Talmidim asked him, and they said, you know, what's going on here? Like, you heard it 5 times, and each time you were just as excited. So the rabbi said, because each time I told them, Baruch Hashem, you made me so happy, thank you so much for sharing, it made them feel like $1,000. Made them feel great. So why not? Let your friend feel good by letting them share a story or a joke or whatever they heard, and they'll be happy, and you'll be better for it. Okay, if you're careful about being quiet, it will make you trustworthy. People will share their secrets with you, says the Orech HaTzaddikim. The Gemara in Erechin says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. A sword can kill a person next to you, but your tongue can kill people very, very far away. You can damage people's careers, lives, shidduchim, school, whatever it may be. You have to be so careful. Better to close your mouth and not use your tongue if it's not going to be used properly. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us 2 of everything, except for the mouth, because it's so powerful. The Orech HaTzaddikim notes that we have doors on our homes because there are times that they should be kept open and they should be kept closed. So too, our mouths have 2 doors, the lips and the teeth. We have to make sure that our lips and our teeth are closing our mouth and making sure they're opening our mouth only when appropriate and being closed when it's the right time. Yira Shemayim, says the Orech HaTzaddikim, cannot develop in a harp, in a heart that's always generating Dvarim B'Telem, always talking. Yira Shemayim develops when we're quiet, we think, and we contemplate our words. So we always know from the Orech HaTzaddikim that there's good shtika, there's a good midah and a bad midah. What's the bad midah of shtika? When is it inappropriate to be quiet? So he says that if you see foolish people making fun of the Torah or Chazal, you should respond and explain to them why they're mistaken. You got to stand up for the Torah. You got to stand up for Kvod Shemayim, for Torah Misos, and what the Torah represents. And the other time where it's bad to be quiet is if you see something or someone who's not keeping the Torah and mitzvos, and you can speak to them softly and guide them in the right direction and try to inspire them and bring them to the right path, then that's a place where you should not be quiet. You should speak up and say something to bring them back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have here the midah of shtika, something that everybody is able to work upon and to be certainly on their level, to certainly to be better about it.